You'll find the full transcript of the videotape on our website, npr.org.
We wanted to take a closer look at some of the issues raised by this videotape, and we're joined now by Fawaz Jerjes, professor of Middle Eastern and International Studies at Sarah Lawrence College. Professor, to begin with, do you have any minor quibbles or major ones, I guess, with the translation as you saw it?
Not at all, by the way. It's done in a highly professional manner.
And the setting seems to be quite strange as opposed to the previous videotape. This is a living room. It's a social situation. They're having some food. What do you make of that?
Well, this is a very informal setting, as you know. He chats and jokes with his aides and lieutenants and expresses himself very freely. This is what I call the unedited Bin Laden on tape, with no makeup, no prepared text. It's the real thing, cold-blooded, determined, and sinister to the core. And I think this is what's significant about this particular tape.
And do you think that he indeed intends that people would be watching this around the world in some way?
Well, let me make a highly critical point here. Unlike Bin Laden's previous videotapes, which were intended for bigger audiences, this particular videotape was intended for a smaller one, mainly his converted followers. It's really for posterity purposes. I don't think that Bin Laden had envisioned that the tape would fall into the hands of his enemies. He basically incriminates himself and spills the beans. So no, I think it was intended for a very small audience indeed.
Tom Gelton mentioned he was wearing a white cap on the videotape. Any significance of that?
Not at all. In most of his videotapes, Osama Bin Laden likes to project a highly pious and Islamic, at least, image. And this is consistent with all the previous videotapes that he was seen in.
And the to go back to the social aspect of it, do you think the language sounded as if he was talking to a group of friends or perhaps young possible converts who could be watching in the future?
Well, I think this particular tape, as I said earlier, I think was intended for posterity purposes. It's his statement for the converted. But let me here again stress another point. I think Bin Laden is well known to use certain propaganda techniques in his rhetoric, mainly inflammatory poetry, religious symbolism, and raw tribalism. And the irony is that the three elements are all present in this new videotape. Let me just mention a few of the techniques he uses in this particular videotape. For example, let's take raw tribalism. He mentions that when people see a strong horse and a weak horse, by nature, they would like the strong horse. And he's really referring to the fact that after the 9/11 attacks on the United States, Osama bin Laden right now is a strong, powerful horse, and many people in the Muslim world would like to ride on his horse. The sense of what I call the religious symbolism, again, very pronounced in the videotape. And when he talks about the young hijackers, he says those young men said in deeds in New York and Washington speeches that overshadowed all other speeches made everywhere else in the world. What he's trying to say is that these martyrs helped to spread Islam, the authentic form of Islam. As to inflammatory poetry, I think the tape ends with a particular poem or verses of a poem written by Osama bin Laden, and the last two verses, he says, "We will not stop our raids until you free our lands." And again, consistent with his previous rhetoric, by the way, he refers here to the American military presence in the most sacred places in Saudi Arabia.
And finally, can you make an absolute determination based only on this videotape that Bin Laden is responsible for the attacks in New York and the
Pentagon? For the first time, Bin Laden clearly and decisively acknowledges a direct role in the September attacks against the United States. Very decisively, very bluntly, he chuckles and even he gloats about it.
Thank you, Professor.
Thank you.
Fawaz Jerjes is Professor of Middle Eastern and International Studies at Sarah Lawrence College.